Thank you for joining us on the Overcomers Overcoming podcast series, where we profile those who have overcome or those who are in the process of overcoming any life topic. We have three objectives with this podcast series. Our first objective is we want you to know that whatever you're experiencing in life, whatever you're encountering, you're not alone. We want to enjoin you to let you know that we together can help you through whatever challenge you may have that at the time may seem too difficult to be able to overcome. Our second objective is to help you determine with a very confident resolve there are multiple solutions, multiple factors involved in any life encounter. It's a matter of thinking into and thinking through the life situation you are encountering to determine the various options, the various solutions that are available to you. Our third objective is to help you with critical thinking skills. If whatever you're experiencing is a result of a decision you made sometime in the past, such that if you had a life redo, you would make a different decision, we want to help you determine the objective facts and factors to evaluate to help you reach a more informed decision. I'm Ron Cooper, founder of the Cooper Culture. I'm with my wife and business partner, Marty. Together, we are the Cooper Culture, and the Cooper Culture is sponsoring this podcast series. Today, we feature Candace Mae Gruber, who chronicles several traumatic events in her life, first of which she can remember began at about 4 years of her age, and there were traumatic events that have stayed with her for a while. Those who were involved in these traumatic events caused her to have shame, caused her to doubt herself, and it's taken several years to get over the pain of the early life. Marty, what are some takeaways our listeners can gain from this podcast?
Ron, Candace had a very inspiring message of overcoming life's abuses. She relates how she relied on and believing in Christ's love, acceptance, and source of strength was the major part of helping her overcome and trusting in Him to heal the hurts.
Her life in Christ, accepting Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, not a panacea, but it helped her to reconcile with the many things in her life for which she needed forgiveness. Let's listen together and let's share together. Candace, thank you for joining us. Our listeners are going to be inspired with your life story. You have gone through several instances, Marty and I sometimes refer to them as mountains in life that you have overcome. And our listeners are going to be very interested in learning what those mountains are. And again, for our listeners, we do not intend to dwell on the past, but rather just recall enough of the past so that our listeners can resonate with what you went through. And the focus more so is, how did you overcome? If you became a chain breaker, how did you do that? But whatever it is you overcame. But Candace, thank you on behalf of our listeners for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you both.
Candace, take us through some of your more poignant events of your life and just some of the things that perhaps you may not use the word endured, but you encountered. And how did you overcome anything that was particularly maybe burdensome, meaningful, something that some people may refer to it as a hurdle, but you had to overcome something in life? Would you be willing to share some of your life story with us?
Well, I can. I can rattle off several and you can pick one, or you can just kind of go with one.
Start with one. It's very likely we're going to come up with other episode topics.
Okay, well, if I were to go back to one of my earliest memories, my mom was a school teacher, and so I was babysat by the neighbor. They had five boys. We had five kids. I'm the youngest of five, and the ages of the boys pretty much paralleled ours. I was best friends with the youngest, Jerome, and he was a year older than me. So when he went off to kindergarten, I was only four, and so I was still at the house being babysat, and his older brother would pop in after school and ask his mom to go outside and water the yard and take a break. And then he would begin molestation with me. It was a horrible experience.
I'm going to guess, Candace, that has had some lasting emotional effects on you. And if it's not a constant occurrence, I'm guessing there are various events that can trigger the thoughts. Is that part of how that has affected your life?
It was something that definitely has affected my life, shaped who I am and today. It was a psychological abuse as well as physical abuse. And it was a no-win scenario. You want to do this. You don't want to do this. You do want to do this. Like, and go ahead, see my mom's outside. Go ahead and scream if you want help, but you're not good. She's not going to hear you and no one's coming to help you. So there was a lot of game in the head, gaming with it as well. And when I was in my 30s, I think is when it popped back into my recognition and felt as if it was happening right there in the moment. But he had already passed away. So I was able to work through some counseling, various things with that. I think we've worked through that with the power of the Lord helping us work through that process. But it certainly had an impact on me subconsciously for all those years. Your mind seems to suppress things that it's not ready to deal with.
Yes. You mentioned 30 years old. Is this something that, is this an incident, a mental trauma, physical, that affected you for 20, 25 years or so and taking you that long to maybe reckon with it, if I can use that term?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I believe it popped up again. It was ongoing for that year, right? It happened repeatedly. And then he was a bully. Like he would later see me when I'm 8 years old and push me into a mud puddle off my bicycle. And so there was a lot of humiliation and things that kind of went along the ways over the years. But yes, I think I suppressed that and didn't really deal with it until I was in my 30s. So all of the ramifications of behavior that came out were not in the forefront of my memory.
Several things come to mind, and then Marty wants to ask you a question. Was there a period of time when you possibly had almost a disdain for men because of this, maybe even affect you in a way that you don't even want to date for fear of this kind of a thing happening?
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. That is something that always occurs. I wasn't aware that I held that attitude. But when I was in college for a bachelor's degree at age 28 to 30, the Lord prompted me to go to a Christian college. And I said, really, Lord, how am I going to go there? I don't have any money for that. But he provided the way. We went, and my daughter, I was a single mom at the time, she got molested by her biological father.
Oh my God.
And yeah, it was really tough. And all of that happening in the wake of it brought on a lot of emotional breakdown for me. And I was blessed that God had me at the Christian college because I had counseling, Christian counseling, to walk me through all of that and to help me process with my daughter. In the wake of what happened to her, the flood came in as to all that I went through, triggering all of these things. So getting healing and working through that was a journey. It's not something that just happens overnight. It's not something you just think of and say, oh, there. But while I was in counseling, I remember the counselor saying, Candace May, I went by Candace at the time, but he said, seeing you on campus, I thought you were very aloof, thought you were better than other people, not very, didn't really connect with people, like maybe you even hated men. And I didn't know that that was the persona that people saw in me at the time. I thought I was just minding my own business and walking. And I'm so sure, though, I had a guarded presence about me, a defense essence up to protect me from all of life's experiences, especially when at 6 years old, we were camping as a family. And my dad and my uncle were with us. And it was nighttime. There was a campground with fire. You know, you set up your campfire. And I was looking around to find my dad, my uncle, and I couldn't find them anywhere. And I started looking through the other campgrounds, you know, next to us, and none of the men were around. And so I was like, where's the men? So I got up and ran across the, you know, the campgrounds looking for them. And I stumbled on a group of 30 to 60 men covered in white with a 6 foot or more cross on fire. You know, the cross was much taller than the men. And it was such a shocking piece of hatred and like overwhelming to the senses of a 6-year-old. And I ran into the conference room there at the campground, just searching, like looking, where's my dad? Where's my dad? And then men were talking who were covered in the white hoods and saying, whose baby is this? Whose redhead is this? And they said, you know, that's Ellen's daughter. That's Ellen's baby. So I got tuned into voices and later discovered those same voices and recognized some of those people were active in a church and maybe even a pastor of a church. And it was very disturbing as a young child to have that polarization of how much hatred and anger and evil there is in the world, and even how it's sometimes disguised.
Were you able to talk to your mother about what was happening to you when you were four and the fact that this guy later on was bullying you?
You know, I think I talked to her about it. My mom's now passed away, but when we talked about it years past, and she doesn't recall me telling her the events that happened. I remember standing in the backyard. You know, my siblings were older than me, and they would get home from school, and I would be there, and I would be standing at the gate crying, "Take me home, take me home." And they'd say, "No, you have to wait for mom." They didn't know what was going on, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, Jimmy threatened me, you know, that I couldn't tell anybody. I'm pretty sure at one point I did mention it, but I don't think it processed. I have a hard time processing things. When there's something that traumatic that happens to people, you'll find this in families all the time. The victim may have speak out and say something happened to them, and the people just don't believe it. That just can't be true. They minimize it.
Yeah, in that context, I'm curious, a campus counselor perceived you to be someone that you were not really, but yet you took on the persona of being quiet and disassociated with men and so forth. What I'm envisioning became the reality of your dad and the KKK. All of that together may have come right together at that moment, and you are just emotionally distraught. Oh my goodness. I'm just trying to project what you may have been thinking. Oh my goodness. I never would have wanted nor thought my dad could be involved in this. And this is just, I can imagine, terrifying to you. Here's where I'm going with this, Candace. Marty and I, through this podcast, through our life, through the Lord's leading in our life, we want to discern. And I want to be very careful with the choice of my words, discern, not judge. As we can see personal demeanor, such as you were describing, if we see that and we can effectively intervene, and I'm saying effectively, meaning we're not going to be condescending, we're not going to be judgmental, we're not going to say something, well, you shouldn't be, and so forth, but rather what we want to do is just walk along beside you because we're sensing possibly you've been traumatized. I want to be careful not to label or stigmatize, but if we could very effectively through the Holy Spirit discern this and come along beside you, I know this may be a very unfair question, being decades ago, but is it possible your life could be just a little bit different in a positive way if someone had intervened in a way that I'm describing, just walk along beside you because they could discern Candace May and what you're going through?
That's an absolute resounding yes. When someone is going through trauma and they've repressed it, suppressed it, they don't even know in their conscious mind, they may have forgotten that it happened to them. They don't want to process it. There is still a belief system that sits in the subconscious that rises behavior. Your beliefs and your subconscious want to be proven true all the time. Whether we realize it or not, we're almost recreating scenarios that happened in the past because they're familiar, because the belief system is there and it subconsciously evolves. So that's why oftentimes you see somebody who's been through trauma having repeated episodes of similar situations. It's not that they choose consciously to have those things happen in their lives, but they do happen repeated. You'll see that pattern if you talk to victims or you've seen what's gone on in their life. So when it's important that we, if somebody were to recognize the behavior, the outward behavior, of someone who's been through trauma, to be, come alongside them, become friends with them, to just love on them, to let them know they're not alone, that they are loved, that they are worthy, that if life has poured rain on them and given them horrible experiences, it's not because they deserved it. It's not something they need to be ashamed of. When you can speak life back into that person who's been victimized and give them an opportunity to realize what's happened, or just maybe they just have a lot of depression and sadness and anguish and they don't know why. But if they can get those emotions released without going into the story itself, and you're filling them with love and hope and validating them, sure, it would definitely change their life. They would be able to find a new truth, reframe their identity in the Lord, giving them a hope and a new identity. Yes, absolutely.
We find that people that have been traumatized, they don't trust people. They have a hard time with relationships and trusting someone. Did you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. How can you trust someone when you've been hurt constantly? On my birthday every year, my dad would say, how did anybody get so goddamn ugly in 8 years and 13 years? And every year you look to your father as a girl, that how a man is going to treat you.
You co-authored a book, Powerhouse Women Survive to Thrive, for the person in our listening audience who can identify what you have been through, and they may say something to the effect, you know, I have been so ashamed of myself, I've never wanted to discuss this, whatever this is, with anyone. I have hid this all of my life, and it has adversely affected me, my relationships, and so forth, all of my life. Candace, can you help us with a call to action to that person who is saying, identify with what you're going through? I'm there, but I don't know how to get out of the call it the depression, the funk, the situation I'm in. How can you help us?
Well, I think the first step is recognizing what happened, acknowledging, and being the brave steps to share it with somebody who you can confide in and trust. So kudos to them if they were to reach out to someone. But it's hard to reach out because you don't know who you can trust. That's why you don't trust, because you've been violated so many times. Maybe the best thing is to find a professional counselor, because they're licensed and they're able to be trusted, hopefully, because they have a board of certification that monitors them, right? So that might be one professional way to reach out for help. There are a lot of church groups that have Celebrate Recovery, and they have small groups that provide where you can go and share if you've been sexually molested, if you've been alcoholic, if you've been drugs, there's all kinds of codependency. They have all kinds of small groups specifically targeted. That is a great place to start. You get a workbook and you go in and you have a small group that usually locks down, and you can start to build trust within that group. Just to be heard that you're not alone. When things horribly happen to us, we often feel alone, like nobody's gone through this but me. I'm different. I'm not valued. Why does this happen to me? So realizing that you're not alone, that this happens more often than you think it does, that there are other people out there who have felt what you felt and gone through similar situations, it takes some of the pain and isolation away. God designed us to be in relationship, but the problem is we get hurt in relationship, and we don't want to be in a relationship because we don't want to be hurt again. So we build these walls, emotional walls around us to protect us from being hurt again. But that actually hurts us deeper than reaching out, because we need to be in relationship with people who are safe and having them love on us and give us that strength to believe in ourselves when we don't believe in ourselves anymore, to restore our hope in humanity through relationship.
What you just said is extremely important. God designed us to have relationships. He wanted us to be able to work with and rely on each other. But Candace, there could be a point in your life where, I mean, you did say it's difficult to trust people because of, And I'm just guessing it has taken some time to feel that you can trust people. And some of us want to trust people right up front, and there are other personalities that will take much longer to develop trust. But do you feel that you had to give trust before you could receive it? I mean, I'm very curious how you overcame this, I'm going to say, fear of trust. And I don't want to use words you would not, but I'm just perceiving the fear of trust might be an accurate descriptor.
A fear of trust is good, because it's a matter of if I confide in you, are you going to accept that what it's worth, or are you going to throw it back in my face and hold it against me, or judge me, or tell me I was deserving of something horrible that happened to me? That's an issue. I don't want any more pain. I can't bear any more pain. So I'm not going to bear my soul of the horrible things that happened to me, because that's a very real piece. And I can't tell you that there's one day, one point in time where all of a sudden I realized I was recovered. I started working on self-development when I was 13. So I've been working on, I'm 58. So I've been working on personal growth and self-improvement for generations, right? For 40 years, I've been working on myself to make myself a better person and growing in the Lord and establishing relationship. I think the greatest thing that helped me, though, is my relationship with Jesus Christ. The learning that God is not a God of judgment. He's not somebody I have to be angry at. He's not there to hurt me. He's there to love me. He's there to tell me that there is a lot of evil in the world and that we can confront them, that he's here to protect and provide the vengeance for me, that he wants to take me in his arms and hold me and love me and bring good people into my life. But I have to open up to God, and I have to trust him, if no one else. That's the first point, trusting God to have honest and open conversations. And, you know, it's okay to tell God you're angry at him. It's okay to yell at God. It's okay to get through all that venting and let your hurt and grief pour out on God. And that might be wailing. You might have been so traumatically injured. When we went through this with my daughter at age 4, and I had that overwhelm sense of what, when she told me, I was like, if you've ever seen Mrs. Doubtfire, when she gets shocked, she's like, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe it. And it's like a skipped record. You just kind of go into this emotional, like, processing, right? So I managed to get my daughter to bed after she told me, and then I immediately sunk to the floor and couldn't move. I literally couldn't move for hours. I was not able to move. It took all that I could to crawl across the floor and get my phone to call a neighbor. My body wouldn't function.
Do you know someone who may be experiencing the pain Candace May described? Her life was one of feeling ashamed because of what she had been through, the trauma she experienced. She didn't know if she was to blame, but she isolated herself. She didn't want to discuss various aspects of her life just because she was so uncertain of who she is, confidence she has, the relationships that seem to deteriorate. God has designed us to need relationships and to function well when we have good relationships. I want to encourage you to think about your circle of influence to see if maybe there is someone that is experiencing what Candace is describing. And if someone comes to mind, I want to give you my strongest encouragement to engage in that person's life. Be willing to walk beside them. Take the time to be willing to understand what they may be going through, such that they feel with you they have the safety to discuss anything that may be going awry in their life. Thank you for sharing Jesus Christ in your life. Marty and I are faith-based. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior decades ago. I'd like for you to talk to the listener who might say, you know, I'm just not sure I can take on or accept a God who I'm told I've kind of learned all of my life is a God of love. Why would he allow me to go through this stuff? I just don't know that I can even accept a God who would even allow that to happen. But I think you, Marty, and I would say there is a fulfillment in accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that he will bring us through anything in life as we choose to dedicate ourselves to him. But to the listener who may be saying right now, this God that you talk about allowed me to go through such trauma. I don't know that I can commit myself to such a person. I don't know that you experienced anything in life such as that before you accept him as your Lord and Savior. But can you address that person who has experienced similar trauma as you and has some, let's say maybe even animosity toward God?
Well, when I was 11, I was again confronted with another situation. I went to a cousin's house, and her husband, she was older than I was, because my dad was the youngest of 14. So cousins were adult age. Anyway, I went over to spend a couple weeks there, and her husband was a volunteer fireman, and he tried to do things with me, but she walked in. Thank goodness she got home before anything happened. But I was emotionally distraught. I remember that my 11th year was a very terrible time. And as I look back now, I can see it's probably because of all the things that had happened from 4 and 6 and 8. And so that was just an accumulation. And there was a PTL, Praise the Lord, TV show at the time where there was a pastor on TV, the 700 Club. Mm-hmm. I saw that, and I was calling them constantly, asking God to forgive me, to save me, to rescue me, to give me this love that they talked about, because I wasn't experiencing it in my life. It was really difficult. Nobody was listening to me, and things were repeating, and it wasn't okay. But there was that sense I could never get enough. Like, I had to keep going through this repetition process, because when you're in a bad situation, environment has a huge play on you. So even if you accept the Lord and you're still stuck in a hellish environment, you still got the consequences of this world. It's a sinful, horrible world. And as a child, it's hard to deal with that. Sometimes you have to wait till you're old enough to break free. When I was 19, I packed up my car and drove 2,500 miles to the other side of the United States to get away from my family, to become the best person I could be when I had the ability. What would I say? I would say God doesn't like the evil in the world. It was not his original design. He designed the world to be a beautiful place and humans to be in full connection with him, with innocence and not knowing good from evil, just pure innocence and joy and love. But he didn't want us to be robots or committed to him unwillingly. So he gave us that choice of, you know, in this beautiful Garden of Eden, he gave two trees, one of the knowledge of good and evil and one of eternal life. And he said, you can eat of any tree you want, but do not eat of the tree of good and evil. And unfortunately, we did. We ate of it. We were tricked, but we ate of it. And when we ate of it, that choice fell in place. Satan's innate nature, which is sin, that hatred, anger, animosity, the depression and sorrow and misery, impatience and hastiness and quarrelsome and pushiness, doubt, mistrust, unbelief, apprehension, pride, selfish ambition, intolerance, addictions, angry outbursts, all of these things, unrestraint, became the default mode for man. And now we are in a fallen state. We're not in the original state of our connection with God. If we were, you would know that God were real right away. You'd never doubt it. And we now have doubt. We don't trust. We don't have these things. Our connection with God has been broken until we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then he transforms us and gives us a new identity in him. And our default mode moves over into one of love, where we have joy and peace and patience and gentleness. And we have faith. We trust God. You know, our inner state of mind gets changed. Our attitude toward other people outward changes, and then our trust in the Lord is seen in our behavior. And it's a beautiful process, and it is a process. It happens over time. It cultivates, it becomes our default mode rather than the angry fleshly sin nature that the world has today. Because that is broken, with the veil blocking our connection to God when we're born into this world, that means there are a lot of evil in the world, and there are people who will do bad things. And that's just something that is out there. And we have to realize that that's not how God wanted it. So when we accept God as our Lord and Savior, His Spirit comes and dwells within us and activates us and starts to give us hope and helps us to see the world through His eyes and gives us strength and fortitude that we wouldn't have on our own. And He can begin to bring people into our life that otherwise might not be there. So I would say, what have you got to lose? Give it a try, right? Try a relationship with Christ.
Sure. Candace, I'm sensing that you are on a journey, as Marty and I are as well. We're all growing. Maybe a topic for another follow-on episode would be forgiveness. What I'm sensing from your life story, there are a lot of folks who, as you said, ate of the tree of good and evil, and they've done bad. And maybe there is an aspect of your life where you have had to learn to forgive and free yourself of those past things. And if that is any aspect of your life, our listeners would be very interested in learning how you are able to forgive if that was a part of your life. And Candace, I don't want to try to suppose that was a part, but I just kind of sense that maybe that is a large part of your life.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to forgive, because the forgiveness is for our benefit. It lets us unshackle all of the pain that was harnessed to us, all that was dished out to us. We're able to release that, and we're able to move on. When we hold grudges and pain towards someone else, they move on their life free. We're the ones who are locking ourselves up. So when we're able to free ourselves up, that forgiveness makes all the difference in the world. But when you have history, Satan is very evil and very real. We want to deny that Satan's real. We want to deny that God's real. That's just all make believe. And that's Satan's lie. You see, people use Jesus Christ's name as a swear word, but they don't use Satan's name as a swear word. It's we've been lied to so far, so long. It's generational, all the way back to the garden. And I think when we start to realize the depth of the lies that we've bought into and that we've been born into, it's become the reality and saturated society. So when we realize that, we can begin to enter the courts of heaven through prayer and asking forgiveness through our bloodlines, because Satan has cursed us through our bloodlines that we don't even know about. We just are in the midst of this chaos. But Jesus Christ wants to save us and give us a way out.
Yeah, just thank you for sharing this part of your life with Marty, me, and our listeners. What I'd like to do is ask if you would consider coming back in talking another episode of forgiveness and just how that worked in your life. Our listeners, some of them have experienced something similar to what you have, and they may not have forgiven. And for some of us, we know that forgiveness, we're not exonerating those who did us wrong, but it does free us up from the stress and the turmoil that sometimes mentally and emotionally drag us down, possibly even to a state of depression. So would you consider coming back and addressing the forgiveness topic with us?
I would be pleased to come back and share more. Yes, absolutely. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you, Candace. We look forward to having you back with us, and thank you.
Thank you.
What is your experience in observing or just being in the presence of others that you might suspect have gone through life trauma similar to what Candace May described as her life? I will tell you, my experience is there are an increasing number of people who have experienced various life traumas. They may feel somewhat ashamed, but they're otherwise not going to disclose some of the things that have happened to them. It's an unfortunate experience and observation that some people feel they are to blame. Women, particularly, who have been through various forms of sexual trauma, sometimes are labeled or made to feel that they brought on what happened to them. It's an unfortunate circumstance for some people, but it's not exclusive to women. It is a matter of some people just feeling they're made to feel they're to blame. They caused the trauma that happened in their life. I want to encourage everyone listening to this podcast to just be aware of the conversation that you're having with another person. Try to get a sense of whether the person is reserved and maybe just something holding them back. They're not willing to divulge a lot of things about their life. I'm not trying to say that we need to try to encourage people to live life traumas and be so transparent that they're always focusing on the negative. I'm not supposing that. I'm not trying to advocate that in any form. But because God created us to want and need relationships, there are many people who just need and want the safety of a safe place, a safe person, a safe environment where they can freely express themselves to get rid of the pent-up anxiety, the pent-up feelings they have, and are able to freely express themselves such that they can relieve the anxiety that perhaps they've had for decades in their life. I want to encourage you to reach out to people and just establish that safe haven where they can trust you, they can express themselves without any fear that they'll be blamed for or otherwise be held accountable for the reason the trauma occurred in their life. Some people have experienced a trauma that they do need therapy. They need coaching. They need a person with whom they can totally trust. Marty and I are certified life coaches through the John Maxwell Enterprise team. We want to help others overcome any anxieties, anything that is holding them back from achieving their full God-designed potential and everything that God designed them to be so that people can live the life that God has created us to have, the life that can have the fulfillment that Marty and I have and Candace, knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you to reach out. If you want to know the Lord as we do, but you're uncertain of, you have questions about, perhaps you have experienced things and you're wondering, I don't understand how a loving God could allow me to go through what I've been through. Let's talk. Let's share with each other. Let's share the love of God that we have and how you can overcome some of the life experiences that you have endured to understand and have the fulfillment Marty, I, and Candace may have. Call us at 410-586-1875 or contact us email ron@thecooperculture.com or Marty, M-A-R-T-Y, @thecooperculture.com. Let's engage. Let's talk with each other. Let's share. We hope you'll want to share this podcast with others within your circle of influence. We hope we can warrant a 5-star rating and that you'll want to subscribe to this podcast series. But share with those within your circle of influence, your Facebook friends, Instagram, your LinkedIn connections. As we can get this message out to others, we want to engage with those who need that safe haven. They want to be freed up from some of the pain, the anxiety they've been feeling possibly for decades, but to be able to share knowing that they have a lifelong friend in us, and what we are able to do for them is a matter of Jesus Christ living in our life. Let's share together. Let's advance others. We look forward to working with you.